Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
We are alive! Welcome everybody back to Worst First. Thank you so much to all my listeners. I'm so grateful for you and the sponsors. It's been so amazing to have all your feedback every week. I read all your comments, even the shitty ones. Thank you guys so much. You know, Worst First, we're here to talk about some of the worst shit that's ever happened to you in your life, you know? Right. And we try to keep it light. We try to keep it funny. But you know what? If you got something real to say, you got something real to say. Okay. And our guest today, as you can see, is the amazing comedian, comedic legend.
Oh, easy.
Bill Burr.
Hey, how are you?
And my husband. My husband's here today.
Yeah, whatever.
He's done some things, too.
He guest stars. Yeah, who cares about him anyway? He's uninteresting. Anyway,
welcome, buddy.
Bill, thanks for coming.
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so grateful for you to be here. We were 8 minutes late because my husband had to get coffee. We've rescheduled this podcast 7 times, and you're
well.
Still...
that's because the valley was on fire. I mean, they were legit.
It was really bad.
You know what's funny is I got all family like back east, so anytime there's any sort of fire, they're always just like, "Are you okay?" Is that, you know, trying to explain to them because the way they show it on the news makes it look like the whole place is on fire.
Yeah.
It's just like that is like, you know, 45 minutes of traffic on the highway away from me. And they're like, that's crazy out there. And it's just like, yeah, it is. But it's also, it's kind of natural, though, isn't it? That kind of is what happens.
We're getting used to it.
Yeah. No, but hasn't it always been that way? Like the Santa Ana winds come off the Mojave Desert.
Equal
it's
fire.
Like a giant, hair dryer. Dries it all out. And now it's going to rain and it's going to get green. And it's just what happens out here. So people are just, how the fuck do you live out there? It's like on fire all the fucking time. It's like. Know. It
fucking
isn't.
Mudslides, earthquakes.
In traffic, and everything's on fire. It's just horrible,
actually.
We
got it all.
Yeah, but it's
like that Cleveland thing where they think, people to this day still think like the lake caught on fire. It wasn't. It was like off of the lake, there was a little stream next to a factory where they dumped a bunch of shit in there, and that's what caught on fire. But to this day, that's all people talk about. So LA's the fires.
Yes.
Yep. Cleveland is that. Boston's the busing.
Oh,
all
God.
Racism is in the South and in Boston. But, you know, if you go to Indiana, you'll have a great time as a person of color.
And everybody, like, the media just hypes the fuck out of shit. Like, it's like all of a sudden it's like, 2019 storm watch. And we're like, dude, it's drizzling.
Yeah. Everything's the worst. Why does everything have to be so dramatic?
Because there's too many channels, so they got to get people to stop. So everything has to be like fucking crazy. And it's just like when I moved out of the East Coast like 12 years ago, and they were already 10 years into every single snowstorm. They would so scare the shit out of people. They'd be showing people going to the grocery store buying bread and milk and eggs. And it's like even if you get 6 inches, that's up to your calf.
Right.
You could walk to the store. They're going to plow it. It's going to be fine. But people would get... like really caught up in this shit.
So. I know.
I
grew up in Philly, and I feel it. I remember I used to have to like push my door open because there was snow, and then like coming out here, it rains, and people are like, "Oh my god, it's fucking raining! Call the cops! Like call 911! Like they have a fucking burqa on!" Like,
well, in defense
themselves.
Of them, it hasn't rained all year, so there is a lot of oil and shit. On
that
the,
is true.
So it's
that
a little
true.
Slicker.
It
than
does
back
make the
east.
Roads.
See, that's what I do. I try to bring the states together.
He keeps it even. He keeps the playing field even. Anyways,
I try.
So I want to get to talk about some of the worst shit that's happened to you. Sure. And I don't know if you've thought about specific
I try
things.
To, but when bad shit happens to me,
you try to forget it.
I block it out. And it comes out when I'm in the shower. For some reason, when I'm alone in the shower, all the humiliation in my life, all of a sudden I start thinking about it. I've told the story before. And then I just sort of shout it out of my head. I'll just think of something that I did or said. And I'll just be going like, washing, and all of a sudden I'll just go like, and it fucking echoes in the shower.
And you just start weeping.
My wife used to, she doesn't anymore. She would just be like, are you all right? All right? But, oh, yeah, I stubbed my toe. And I would just think, just like embarrassing shit that I did and said and stuff I did when I was drinking. I was drunk and shit. And it's just so, like, yeah, a lot of it. And all my bombing as a comic, I was trying to think of that. That's all just sort of just blended into all one big 12-year period. Yeah, like the first 12-year period of my career. That's the funny thing about stand-up where you can't, like, I mean, I guess you can practice in your bedroom or whatever, but the only way to do it is you just have to go out and do it. Mm-hmm. And you learn in real time in front of everybody, like, oh, I guess that sucked.
Yeah.
I guess we got to move on from that. I guess that's offensive. I didn't know that. So it's like a kind of like a whole process. So, and I know that now after almost like, you know, getting on 30 years of doing this, that I understand now. Like, you know, I had one. I'll tell you my worst show this year as far as like
this
reaction.
Year?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Damn.
All right. So I was back east. I was in New York. And New York, the whole vibe in New York is like totally changed. It's just like Manhattan was always expensive, but there was all these pockets of like, you know, different like racial groups and economic status and all. Like when I moved there, like Alphabet City, don't fucking go there. That place is crazy.
Bad.
And
yeah,
then, but like, you know, Upper East Side was all this opulence and wealth and all of that shit. And there was all this different stuff. Now it's just like all glass towers and people with money, it seems.
Everyone.
And the crowds are just like fucking lame. They're just really like kind of, you know, this post, all this bullshit. So I was doing this bit about this lesbian that kind of bumped into me on purpose when I was walking down the sidewalk. And when I told the joke, these two women in the crowd like simultaneously yelled out. They're like, lesbians aren't men. All this shit.
Oh, no.
And I was so fucking annoyed. I went the wrong route. I went, oh, shut the fuck up. You fuck. Of course it was white chicks. What would they be doing if they weren't getting offended for other groups, right? Not saying there's not any white lesbian chicks. I'm just saying, right? All this shit. So I just fucking got into it. Got this big fuck you fight with them. And then like they leave. And then I'm pissed on stage, which is never good for telling jokes.
Right.
So then it ends. And of course, comedy club security is the worst. Like, they don't know how to kick somebody out. So I'm like, are they upstairs? They're like, no, they're gone. So I knew it. I put my hoodie up. I walk out. They go, you're good. Second I take it off, they're still there. Fuck you, you motherfucker. I had a fuck you fight on the street with all these people eating, watching.
No way.
No
way.
So then it took me about 3 days to stop feeling right about it. Like, yeah. I should have said that.
Yeah,
I should have said this. It took about 3 days, and then I was kind of like, all right, I don't want to be doing that on stage. I don't want to be, okay, what am I trying to say? How did they hear it? And then I figured it out, and now the joke kills, and I have lesbians coming up to me telling me how much they like the joke. So
what is the joke? How does it go?
I can't burn it. I need the joke.
Okay, just kidding. We're not going to share the joke. Okay, Tom, he's going to tell me
later. I can tell you after.
But you know what is my problem? Is like, I hate when people go to a comedy club, and then they have to be sensitive. Like, I feel like if you're going to go to a comedy club and know that this person is a comedian and everything that they're saying, whether it be offensive or not, it's a fucking joke.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, it's like, if you're going to go there knowing that someone might say something that's going to offend you. But guess what? They're fucking kidding. Yeah. Like, that's
or,
the thing.
Like there's too many variables involved. Or there could be, you fucking hate the crowd so much that you say something that you do mean.
This is...
I'm sure you've been there where you're just like,
these guys suck.
Yeah, you got it. I imagine in a band, you guys just start making eye contact. Like, is it me? We're giving 100% here.
Yeah.
Playing drums?
Yeah, you look out there and you're like, and someone's they're just sitting like... there on their phone. You're like, why are you watching this through 4 inches of fucking telephone?
Yeah,
it's
you're here.
It's happening right before
and
you.
And like, the thing is, the guy next to you is filming it. So just go look at his shit.
You
can actually like... like, be here. That's
his biggest pet peeve. Well, they don't really allow filming in comedy clubs, right? They don't usually allow people to film on their
But people
that's
still
a big no.
They still do, and then they edit around it, like the way CNN and Fox News, they edit shit so they'll...
the joke's not funny.
Well, so you look like... and well, if they don't like you, then they're going to edit it in a way to make you look like an asshole.
Oh, no.
It's, you know, it's not as bad as everybody says. I mean, it doesn't happen that much, but I guess there's things now where you can have people put like the cell phones in the bags and stuff like that. But then that could cost $3 a head. And do you eat that? Do you pass it on to your to people coming to your show. It's a whole weird fucking thing. So
how do you feel about social media? I'm curious. What's your like opinion?
It's everything. It's fucking awesome, and it's also the worst thing ever. It's fucking awesome to like promote your shit, to get out there for someone like me. I mean, back in the day, you know, a bald, redheaded fucking male was, you know.
The worst.
Go ahead, start rattling off all the fucking people. There's not a lot. It just, I wouldn't have got played, but I was able to, you know, just do what what I love is you're able to do what the fuck you do and put it out there and then just cultivate. All you need is just like, you know, 200 people in each town to come see you or whatever the venue you're trying to fill. That's all you fucking need. Mm-hmm. And then you're
good.
You're fine. Yeah. And then, you know, I've been able to do stand up in different countries where English isn't the first language, which is nuts.
How do you do that?
Because there's expatriates, there's people that fucking speak English, and there's people who just get into your shit. It's like if I had to do it for the whole country, I would bomb. But if I just need to I just need to find 400 fucking people in that country that like what I do, and then I can come back and maybe next time play the 500 seater or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what that is.
They like don't understand what you're saying. They're like, but I like his red hair. He's funny. Yeah.
I got nothing beard at this point.
Nothing but like mad respect, man. I mean, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he's a really big fan.
I get it. Like. We both are. Making people laugh is such a fucking
it's daunting.
A beautiful talent. To make somebody, laughter is fucking everything.
Yeah.
And to make people laugh or fucking lose their minds I just have nothing but respect for it.
Right back at you.
It has to be hard. I'm not a comedian.
It's not as hard as what you guys do, and it's not, the business isn't as difficult. There's a reason why there's never been a behind the music for comedy.
It can't be easy, dude.
No, but the deals that you guys sign with us, you know, okay, you got club owners, they skim, they steal, they do whatever fuck they're going to do.
Of course.
But, like, I'm not locked into this fucking contract, you know. When someone's as talented as Prince and they have to write slave on the side of their face, it's like, this guy's getting fucked too. Like, I used to watch, though. I actually kind of learned about show business watching all of those things. And it's like, all right, don't let a relative handle your money. That's a big one.
Number one.
Don't let your brother-in-law, whatever. Don't fucking do that. I saw the brutal one on Billy Joel. Don't sign with the first fucking idiot who comes up with a piece of paper.
He's
never give away. Power of attorney.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't ever let somebody be able to be you on a piece of paper. I learned all of that shit. It probably made me a little extra paranoid, but like, you know, I don't know. I think it's way harder, and I've toured with other comedians. And I've sort of felt that whole thing, like, you know, you go on a fucking tour. There's going to be the pussy hound. There's going to be the drug guy. There's going to be the late guy. And you have to be like,
late guy. We know
and then
you got
to be like, all right, I'm one of those. I don't know what guy I am because I'm in here looking out. But I'm the morose guy. I'm going to make everybody feel like it's raining every day. So I got to kind of keep my shit in check and let people be who they're going to be. But then there's that point where you got to try to put them in check. There's just all that fucking extra goddamn shit. I mean, that you have to fucking, it's like literally being in a relationship. Whereas a comedian, I just fucking go to a town and no matter how much I don't like a gig, it's over.
Right.
And I just leave and I can say what I want to say. It's really it's kind of the best gig in show business.
But I feel like, isn't there days when you're like depressed or you're not in the mood and then you have to go do comedy and you're just I don't want to fucking be
I'm not
funny.
Feeling it.
Yeah, I've taken some time off this year just trying to be more of a family guy. But I have realized that I still need to do spots down at the store because if I don't do stand-up, sort of that depressive cloud.
Gets worse?
It catches up to me.
Oh,
so I feel like when I'm doing stand up, I'm just
running
staying
from
in front
it.
Of it.
Yeah.
But then if I slow down too long, it starts coming over me. And I just kind of felt good because I haven't had those kinds of thoughts in years to the point that they were like weird.
Yeah.
And I was just going like, oh God, am I gonna be this fucking guy again? Just laying on the bed. What's it all about? The polar bears are dying, and just start spiraling down. Yeah.
Me every day.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what's life? Like, what happens when we die? I get like so like esoteric in my head. And he's like, can you just not think about it? I'm like, but what happens? Like, we don't know. Like, there's a heart beating in our chest. And like, what if it stops? Like, we're just sitting here right now. And like, I think about it too much. I think too much. And he's like, can you not do that?
Yeah,
like, can you just live your life?
All the time,
I'm just like constant.
Stop.
Meanwhile, he's just like, let's go have fun. Like, he's like the most carefree, like happy, unaffected person, doesn't have anxiety, doesn't have panic attacks, just totally normal health, like kind of, well, not normal, but, you know.
So not.
But you know, you're like very, you're more a positive, happy-go-lucky person.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Very lucky, very lucky. All right. So I want to hear about, like, did you ever go on like a crazy date and have like a horrible time? Did you ever have any of those experiences? I know you're married.
Yeah, so I gotta watch
out. You gotta be careful what you say.
I
say that.
I don't feel like stirring up the beehive of exes.
You don't have to do
nowadays.
That. Yeah.
I am difficult to live with. Put it that way. So, yeah.
You don't have to mention that, and you don't have to mention names. What about jobs, even?
I will tell you this. One time, one of my first girlfriends, I grew up, I had like all brothers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know, until my sister came along. So it was like more like...
dudes.
It was very... testosterone. Even the dog was a male. We used to fight all the time. So I didn't know shit about female energy, nothing. So I got my first girlfriend, like serious girlfriend, when I had moved out or whatever. And I remember it was her birthday, and I had no fucking idea what to get her. And I was also too embarrassed that I didn't know. So I was in a mall, and they had, you know, like those polo style shirts? You know, like they had the alligator polo.
Yep.
So for whatever fucking reason, I bought her like three of those.
No.
I don't know why.
Three polos?
I don't know why.
The Lacoste?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know if they were that. So I bought her those. So I was so fucking nervous. I questioned a million times. Is she going to like these? No, she's not. She'll like it. I just questioned it like 50. I'm getting like embarrassed telling this now. And I gave it to her. And she's so excited. And she fucking opened it up. When she looked at it, she just went like, what is this? She was like holding them up.
Is this a golf shirt?
Yeah, why did you bet the... And I was so embarrassed, like, we were in her bedroom, and I, like, sat down on the bed, and I was just sitting there like this, and then she just went off on me on how bad the fucking gifts were and who the fuck gives something like that. And I for, like, probably, like, 2.5 minutes, it felt like an hour, and I was just sitting there, like, getting scolded.
Berated.
Yeah, it took a good 5 minutes before my self-esteem came back, like, wait a minute, it's your fucking birthday, I got you something.
Yeah.
You say thanks. And then I was so fucking humiliated. Like, I had like major fucking women issues.
Uh-huh.
With a bunch of other shit that I don't want to get into already. So then I finally get a fucking girlfriend, and then like that shit
happens. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm really trying to be careful here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be careful.
That's
here.
Not cool though.
I was nuts, so I was attracted to crazy. So, I mean, I was bringing my 50% of it to it.
Oh, a shit magnet.
Yeah. So I was like, it was this weird, amazing and dark time in my life where I decided to become a comedian, this excitement. Oh my God, I'm actually doing my dream, even though I'm not getting paid for it, but I'm doing it. So there's this super excitement here. And then everything else was just fucking, you know, below
the
floorboards. Yeah, and it was like, I was like, you're the problem. You know, it was me. I was just like this fucking just sucking everything into my bullshit. It was really bad. It's funny because I don't remember a lot of it now. I think just out of like protective shit until I get in the shower. I get in the fucking shower. Not all the time, but every like once a month or something. Something pops in my head and I just go, ugh. Why did I get her those shirts?
But you're married now and it seems like you've like figured out you're not taking it. I figured that part out.
But now I'm figuring out the being married part.
Yeah.
So that's the.
Oh yeah. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's figuring it out. I mean, we're married and we're newly married.
It never stops figuring.
No.
Yeah, because people start. The big thing is people continue to grow. So you got to make sure that you're not doing this. That's the loneliest feeling ever.
Yeah.
And I think every relationship kind of experiences that. But the loneliest feeling ever is when you're starting to go like this.
Yeah.
And
you got
that happened a little bit to us right after we had our daughter.
Uh-huh.
Because like so much of, you know, it was this before that. And then it becomes this. So then you're communicating through. And it was just, then we would go out on dates and literally have nothing to talk about. And then we'd be like, oh, look at our daughter.
Yeah. Our baby's really cute. Should we talk about her some more? Yeah.
I just remember one point during the height of it, we were kind of passing each other in the hallway, and I said, "What's up to her?" Like I was in a college dorm, and it was just some guy coming by, and I was just like, "All right,
Okay.
We need to like fix this. It was funny because she has such a great sense of humor that we just started laughing about it. And then that became a joke within the relationship, passing each other in the house, being like, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, so we were able to get it back. But yeah, it's a...
That she must have a great sense of humor being around you.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways she's funnier than I am.
Aww.
She's fucking hilarious. No, she's fucking hilarious.
That's awesome. This one is just absolutely retarded.
Mental,
my face hurts a lot of times. I can go on like this to like because it hurts. Yeah.
He thinks
fucking laughing
I'm just crazy, so it's entertaining. But no, you said the same thing happened to you when you had your kids.
Yeah, like, I had them back to back, and I went from being like, I always relate to this as like the Billboard charts. I went from like number one with a bullet, like. Right. Top of the charts to like fucking 260 with a fucking anchor.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't. Everything was about the kids, every single thing, and I'm just like, what happened? I'm over here. Hello. Yeah. Like just. I mean, I get it. They need.
But that's that.
Especially
dad
in the beginning,
shit,
they need all that attention, and kids don't come with manuals, nor do marriages with new kids come with manuals. So you're just scraping. Trying to figure out how to fucking do it all.
Yeah.
And
I would think back to back. Yeah, that would be tough. But we figured it out and everything. I don't have like that. I'm a fucking weird dude, man. So I don't have like.
I am, man.
Like I have like this self sustaining thing about myself, which is really good for the business I picked, but is hard on relationships. And I have to try to open it up a lot where I'm just kind of like. I don't need anybody or anything. I can sleep on this slab of granite. I don't give a shit. Like, I remember I watched The Dirty Dozen when I was a kid. Remember that movie?
Uh-huh.
Remember when they were shaving in the cold water? I remember I started shaving in cold water for what, as like, because of how hard I thought life was going to be because of this other bullshit that happened to me. I was like, all right, if that can happen here at home, what the fuck's going to happen when I go out there? So I literally started doing shit the hard way. To like build up like this callus or something. It was just so fucked up. No, like I look back at it now.
Just putting yourself
through
hell.
No, the fact that I made that decision and I was looking in the mirror doing it, but it's still way in here. There's not that moment you can be with yourself like, hey, Bill, what the fuck are you doing right now? You have hot water. There's people around the world would kill for this hot water. Use it. What's wrong with
you're
fucking...
You're just punishing yourself. You're trying to prepare yourself for pain.
I was trying to, that was the business model there for a while.
Right? I know, it is kind of crazy, but like, I mean, it is, I guess it is like a lot of pressure too, because, you know, once you do get married and start a family, it's not just you anymore. It's not like you're like...
No, it's the greatest thing ever. It's just, it wasn't like, I don't give a shit that it's all about her. I love having it be all about my daughter, but it's the stuff about with my wife and not connecting with her where we were like best friends. And I felt like there was a point where it started to go like this. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was just like, oh, this is the shit that people talk about.
Yeah, it happens.
I'm like, wow. Because I remember a long time ago, I was working in a warehouse. One of my worst fucking jobs ever. I used to work like fucking 11 to 4 in the morning.
Ew.
Whoa, dude.
Oh, yeah. Unloading
this thing. Lifting lumber?
Oh, dude. And this fucking, there used to be this guy who was fucking rail thin. One of the scariest guys I've ever seen in my life. First day I showed up, he was fucking gacked out of his mind.
Uh-oh.
And he was on this electric pallet jack just being like, I'm going to drive it off the dock. And he kept doing that. The other guy I worked with was all laid back, just kind of smiling like, you know, there was a Vietnam vet there. Who was just you go out drinking with him. And one of those guys, you go out with him in like within 3 minutes, you had like four trying to keep up with the guy. So we used to fucking work till 4 a.m. There was a guy who was divorced. And I just remember this. He told me a fucking story how like his relationship, he goes, I could tell you exactly what was gonna happen every single day. Wow. And we would just pass each other in the hallways, and I wouldn't even say hello to anyone. And I was just like, "Oh my god,
oh my god,
am I going down that road?" Because I don't want to do the 11 to 4 a.m. shift again to fucking play,
fucking
child support or some shit. So let me fucking. But what's great about my wife is we're fucking great friends.
Yes.
So if we do, but we're also stubborn. So if we do the fucking battering ram thing, we'll do that for like a week or two, some stupid shit. Before we like, what are we doing? And then we're laughing again. And then it gets back to where it like needs to be. But I don't know. I refuse to ever let it get worse than that. Like I'm not gonna like.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the thing. Like as long as you're willing. I mean, like same with us. Like we'll bicker, but then we'll be like, what are we doing? Like I love you.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's always over some the
dumbest
shit.
We're
like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we, seven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I'm seven. No, yeah. You did it. No, you did it.
Yeah. We do the same thing. And I mean, yeah. It's like
wanting
like,
to win.
I mean, yeah, yeah, wanting to win or wanting to be right. Like, I don't know why being right is so important.
Yeah, there's no
trophy.
It's
not like it does anything.
It's nice to hear it every once in a while. It's nice to hear.
You're right,
hey,
baby.
You know what? Now that I think about it, you know, that was probably, we should have done it your way.
Oh my God, I know, that is kind of nice. Okay, guys, we're taking a quick break and then we will be right back with Bill Burr on Worst First.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Those are the best.
Little mini Cokes.
Little baby Cokes.
They are bad.
They're like
great.
Shots.
Do you remember those Budweiser ponies when we were growing up?
Yes.
The little ponies?
They had like ponies?
Fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
They were called ponies.
I thought they had polar bears.
No. It was the size.
Oh, Budweiser.
It's called the Budweiser. Oh. The they were like, you could hold them in your hand and you yeah. could just fucking suck them down. They were fun as shit.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah, or like, you know, the little Mickey's Big Mouth? It's like a little green, looks like a little keg of beer.
Yeah. Oh.
It's because they stay cold. You're not sitting there drinking half of a hot beer, you know, not the beer.
Yeah, like a 40 ounce. By the time you get to, it's like you're drinking urine by the end of it. It sucks.
Guys, we are back here on Worst First with Bill Burr. We are talking about beer. I think beer is gross, personally. I don't
I
like
it.
The taste of it. Are you sober?
Yeah.
You are? So is he.
Sucks.
What?
Yeah, just recently.
It's great in the morning.
It's great in the morning.
It is.
At night when the demons start running around, you're like, oh, I would love to shut this off. But I actually have a lot of respect for people that are totally sober because you really are just facing life. It's like, wow, this feels bad. And I'm just going to sit in it and work my way through it. Think it through, as this guy told me. Think it through. And yeah, but I will tell you, I don't know. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm a year in.
You feel the same way. It's tough sometimes.
Yeah, it's fucking... You know how to fix it and make shit easier. It was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the easy, that's kind of the chicken shit way out. But actually dealing with shit.
Depends on what you're drinking.
True.
If you're drinking Jaeger, that's a man's way out.
Yeah. But it's good, man. It's good.
Life is very good, different. Man. You know, it's like, it's
it
crazy.
Is.
It's different, right?
It's different being present.
Yes. And feeling everything, like, as opposed to not.
Do you, you have like. How much, I know obviously all the stories are out there and everything, like how much of, because I even look back on my early stand-up career, so much of it I'm starting to not be able to remember. I'm always like amazed, like the time when you guys broke that wave that you rode, like you were at the spot playing the kind of music and all of us like, did all of that, like how much of that were you able to retain?
Because
it was like tour, do an album.
Yeah, just a lot of it's a blur, but there's times where I can't fucking remember what happened 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And then there's times where I'll be like, oh my God, remember that time? And like, in, you know, 81 we were at, and then it blows my mind. It's weird. It's really selective, you know?
How would you get through a show? Because I know like nights when I don't want to do stand-up, but I have a show.
Oh, yeah.
I asked him that too. I was like, what? Because, like, you know, he's going on this new tour, the stadium tour. If anyone's listening, you know, obviously you guys know. They're going on a stadium tour with Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett. It's going to be fucking insane. You're definitely going to come when we do LA.
Yeah.
But,
good deal.
The thing is it's crazy because I asked him the same thing. I said, what if you're tired? Because they'll literally go. You'll play a show, you know, long
five
ass time.
5 nights a week.
5 nights a week, every night. Fucking just. I would like need a week to recover from one night.
I would think in every set, though, there is that song, once you get on the other side of it, you're going downhill.
Yeah, you're like, we're almost there, man.
I'm on that. Yeah. Well, you know what I do when I get into like a, you know, I obviously love doing stand-up, but there's just some nights you just don't feel funny, you're run down, you miss your family. So when I go on stage, what I do is I tag every joke. I just start trying to make jokes about the jokes to get myself present and in there. And then if I'm fucking around, because if it's going good, then it's like, oh, this is awesome. Then I get it going. But the, when I was younger and I didn't know how to do that, talk about worse shows when I didn't feel like fucking doing it.
Yeah.
If you go up there, it's the most fucked up thing ever. If you go up there with like a minus sign like this, they just feel it.
They know.
They fucking know. Yeah. And then you pull back, then they pull back, then you pull back, then they pull back, and then you're bombing.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's going on? And there's this giant moat between you and them, and it's just, oh, God.
And what's crazy is you're by yourself up there.
Yeah, at least he has a band to support him.
So you got three other guys that somebody's picking up the slack somewhere if you're just not.
But I always heard the drummer, if you fuck up, it's over.
Dude, it's a done deal. It's
what's the worst you ever fucked up on a big tour, giant fucking stadium, and you fucking just, do you ever just daydream and go, man, you know, when I get home, I'm going to finally get those solar panels. It's like, wait, is this the first or second verse? Do we play this twice or just once?
Yeah, I know. I've done it. I've fucked up bad several times. Several times.
I feel like you're on autopilot.
Not.
Do you duck down behind a cymbal? What do you do?
That's the cool thing about being a drummer, because you can get out of there in a minute. You know, you kind of get a little down low in your seat and you're covered.
Would the other guys give you the look?
Yeah. I'm like, hey guys, if I fuck up, don't everybody go. Because everybody sees all you guys going. You know? So it's hard to hide because everybody.
Do you ever have a really big fuck up? You've had other people in the band start wrong songs.
I've had other guys have like just started the guitar part in the wrong song, and we're like,
"What do you do?" Because you can't stop, right?
Well, so I just like when that happened last, I just didn't come in and just let him fucking die by himself out there starting the song, and he's like, "Where is everybody?" Oh. Fucking redo,
wrong
dude.
One.
One, two, three. Let's try this again.
Oh my God.
You know, fuck. It happens.
What was your worst show, babe?
I think the last one we did, like the New Year's Eve show, where the drum roller coaster got stuck upside down.
Oh.
That was a fucking.
Talk about having to stretch for time.
Oh my God. Just being like sitting there.
Those are the moments where I wish I was a fucking comedian, because I'm like, what do I say to these people? Because
he's on the mic.
I'm on the mic.
Honesty, the situation.
I'm upside down, my fucking head.
Hanging upside down.
I'm upside down for probably a good close to 2 minutes by the time the riggers climbed up the fucking roller coaster track and started to get me unharnessed. I feel like I'm going to literally pass the fuck out. And but the whole time I'm sitting there trying to like talk to everybody, and I'm like, and when you're in hell at that moment, I couldn't think of anything to say that was funny or cool.
You're all
you guys ever see Spinal Tap?
Oh fuck yeah.
If they ever write the sequel, I think that the drummer gets stuck upside down at the Staples Center on the farewell show. Do you know, I was working around the corner, that, you know, they have those great old theaters right around the corner from the Staples Center.
Yeah.
I was down there for the New Year's Eve thing, and I was trying to get over there for the show.
Aww.
And because I've seen you guys twice. I don't know how I missed you in the 80s. I probably didn't have the money. And then I started doing stand-up in 92. So I never saw you guys until 2006. And that was like a huge regret. I didn't see Guns N' Roses. I didn't see you guys. I saw pretty much everybody else. But for some reason, and you guys did that fucking tour in 87, where it was the original lineup of Guns N' Roses opening.
Yes.
And you guys on the Girls, Girls, Girls. That was the fucking tour.
Yeah,
for that style of music in the 80s, I kill myself. I didn't see that.
That was insane. We brought those guys along with us, to open for us on the tour. No one knew who the fuck they were.
Yeah.
They just got signed and just put a record out, and they ended up becoming fucking huge. But I remember Nikki and I taking some record company guys from our label down to go see him. We're like, dude, they were playing at the Roxy or some Cazares, some shit. Like, you guys need to sign these dudes. They're gonna fucking kill shit.
And this was Guns N' Roses?
And they fucking they got caught slipping. They didn't jump on it. Somebody else got them. I think they signed to Geffen.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
That was
I'm wondering, you gotta sign these guys. We're gonna take them out with us. And they
So they opened for you guys.
That was good, man. That was a really good tour.
Adler was one of my favorite drummers.
Yeah.
I played drums as a hobby, and I just fucking, because everybody had the giant kits
that
came out.
Oh, you do play?
Yeah, he had a little four-piece.
You know who I think they should have got?
Who?
When he left, who I thought, I was hoping they were going to get, was that the original drummer of the Romantics, Jimmy Marinos.
Yeah.
And I was thinking
that guy had good style.
Yeah, he would have been... And he also had like a stripped down style too. Yeah, not that I, you know, not that I didn't like.
Super flat. He sat kind of high. He just had a cool vibe.
He had a really cool vibe. I thought he was the rock star of that band. And you know, when he left, like that band became like a completely different thing. And I remember thinking like I was devastated. You know, your band, you just fucking love. You know, I was devastated. When Vince left, I was devastated. All of that shit. Right?
What are they doing?
I was brutal. So like, I remember thinking like, well, maybe they'll get, because I missed seeing Jimmy Marino's play. I was like, maybe they'll fucking get that guy. That would be crazy.
Yeah, that would have been a good choice.
Yeah, not that he didn't like Matt or anything. I just thought like, as far as like, you know, Steven Adler's vibe versus that guy's vibe.
And now he knows a lot. You know, Bill does this thing, the goddamn Comedy Jam. Is that still happening? Is that still going?
I'd show you the picture, but it'd freak you out. Like, back in the day when we first started it.
How do I not know that?
They actually asked me to have you come play sometime.
Yeah, I would go in like, so basically, so many comedians started off playing, you know, in a band or whatever, and it didn't work out, then you became a comedian, but we still love music, right?
Yeah.
So this guy, Josh Ademeyer, has this thing where he goes, He just has a live band. You go up, you tell a story about a concert you went to, and then afterwards you jam with the band. And whatever you want to do, you want to sing, you want to play guitar and sing, or play drums. So I play drums as a hobby. So I just did this thing because, you know, I'm a comedian. I was like, I can't just sit there and play. I look like a douche because I don't play well. So it has to be fucking funny. So whoever I would, whatever song I was going to go play drums, I would dress up as the drummer.
No way.
So it's like, so the big.
Did you dress up as a drummer? Yeah. I noticed you wore a wig and glasses sometimes.
I got one dressed up like you. Oh, I got one on the phone.
Oh my God.
And I got one. I got John Bonham, Steven Adler.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, no, I had all of these fucking. No, it was fucking hilarious. Is if anybody didn't know me, when I got in my my office, in this closet, I have this whole bag of wigs. If somebody ever saw that,
Bill's
would be like,
some weird shit.
Big Bill's walking down Santa Monica Boulevard at night. I don't know what's going on here. So, but that's what I was saying when you came in. I'm a fucking huge fan of like just the drum parts that you came up with, how much they fit and everything. And
that's kind of cool.
Isn't that so funny?
You still do this drumming thing?
It's called the goddamn comedy
jam. I actually soundproof my garage. I bought it was fucking hilarious, is for years, like my dream kit. Like my whole approach to drumming was terrible. I just did what you guys did. So if I did that with comedy, it took me becoming a comedian to be like, well, if I took this approach as a comedian, I'd just be a joke thief and everyone would fucking hate me. Cause I would just like, I would try to figure out all of your shit.
Yeah.
Is that overdubbed or whatever? And then I'd try to figure out how to play it.
Yeah.
And then, I wanted my kid I always wanted was the John Bonham Green Sparkle 26-inch bass drum.
Yes.
That whole fucking thing. And this is a buddy of mine, Dean Del Rey. Whatever the fuck you want.
Dean Del Rey, comedian.
Whatever the fuck you want. I was looking at that kit for 10 years. He goes, dude, I'm on it. 3 days later, he goes, I found one. He's like, dude, there's this fucking guy. Whoa. He's a crazy Bonham fan. He's got two. One's mint, one's a little fucked up. So I go, get me the one that's a little fucked up because I don't want to be the first one to fuck it up. But he ended up selling me the good one. Because he was trying to buy an actual John Bonham symbol off of one of his relatives.
Whoa.
So he needed the money. So I had this fucking thing.
Fucking 26-inch bass.
It was ridiculous. So, and it was like one up and one down. So like trying to do fills, it was just like, it felt like a quarter of a mile.
Fucking
yeah,
forever.
To get there. And it finally hit me one day that like, he got this kit because this fit who he was. And also what was going on, well, they didn't really know how to amplify drums at that point, and the guitars just kept getting louder and louder, so he had this giant fucking kit.
Yeah, a lot of times just one mic over the top and one in the bass drum.
Dude, I even had a Rogers hi-hat. I had every fucking thing that he had right down to the drum stool, and then I was just like, what am I doing here? So I just sold the whole fuck. I had a Speed King drum pedal, the whole fucking thing. Until I can play drum, Good Times, Bad Times, with a Speed King, then I'm not here, right? So I fucking sold that thing. And then I just went out and I bought a Gretsch Broadcaster with a 22-inch bass drum. More just my size. Like, I love a 14th floor, you know? Just more my size and shit. And I've been having, like, the best time ever. So like when I get into it with my wife sometimes like that, when I'm running jokes, I'm like, I'm gonna go out to the garage, see if my drums still work. And then she's like, all right.
Yeah. Is that not the best therapy on the planet? Yeah.
Like, if you're playing good, but if you go out and then you had a bad fight and then you suck at drums, so you're like,
your sticks are flying.
Yeah. No.
I'll take a big fucking Sharpie and write people's names on the drum.
Drum head, yeah.
I'll take pictures to the things. Like,
and he hits
and after two hours of playing a show, I literally get up and go, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Like, you could fuck with me so hard and like, they're just therapeutic, man. After pounding the shit out of something that long.
Hey, what do you like better? Do you like two bass drums or a double pedal?
I like the double pedal. I mean, right. I just like that one way oversized bass drum. I played as big as a 32, and it just takes a week to decay. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
This just became like a music podcast.
No,
like, so what kind of equipment do you have? Million,
did that change the way you went around the kit though? When you, because it's not like you were going to go up and over the thing.
Yeah, it's definitely changed it. That gap.
So what about one like, because your configuration in the early 80s, it's really going to get like single white female here. How much I know about your drum kits.
Yeah.
Like you have like iconic fills where you're going around the drums that way.
Uh-huh.
What do you do? Because you know the fans, there's certain things, you know. You want to hear Phil Collins go,
yeah. Well, the studio, sometimes I use a larger tom configuration. We're live. Right. It's like I can just smash through it. You know, it's like.
Right.
But yeah, so there's different sizes in the studio just so you can get that bigger range, you know, right?
Yeah, that's cute. Now there's like fucking three drummers watching, like, I love this.
I know,
yeah,
right? And all the rest of my audience is like, all right, what about the worst, guys? Okay. Tell us a worst story.
I can tell you a worst real
quick.
Tell
us the worst.
This is the worst fucking drumming audition ever. I was 17, 18, between 17 and 18. I go to audition for these guys, and they're like, I should have fucking known better. The band was called Dealer.
Dealer? Like drug dealer?
Well, yeah.
That was their side job before they
became... That's actually a good name for a band, though.
Yeah, right. So, okay, and they're like, hey, man, you want to do some fucking mushrooms? I was like, sure. I fucking take some mushrooms, and then like, all right, well, let's fucking get at it. And this is probably... I probably took them 15, 20 minutes. We're shooting the shit. So we get behind the kit, and I start to fucking play, and everything is just like...
Oh god!
Everything is glitchy.
Oh my god!
And I'm just looking at them, trying to fucking stay focused.
Yeah, was there anything you could lock in on to try to keep
nothing?
Have you done mushrooms before?
No, I've never. I think if I ever went the hard drug thing, like or which is anything beyond weed, I think hallucinogens.
You're scary.
No, they seem way better than that, like that angry shit, like coke
and shit. You've never done coke?
No.
Good for you.
No.
I assume everyone in LA has done coke.
You know what it is? Growing up as a Celtics fan, Len Bias dying, freaked out, like my whole generation
out. What
happened?
He had a heart attack?
He got drafted by the Celtics, and there was finally going to be a Celtic who could dunk.
Yeah.
And look good doing it. And unfortunately, like, he got drafted, and like within, like, it felt like a week. He had a bad night, and then that was it. And it was just like,
yeah, it's
scary. And then
scary,
of course,
now.
The story was like, yeah, it's the first time he ever did it. He did one line and died. You know, it wasn't though.
That does happen to some people.
I don't think it was. I mean, he was free basing. I don't think the first time it's like, hey, I'll try some coke and just start free. Yeah, that seems like a little
torch.
From my listening to prior albums, I feel like that takes a while. Then
it takes
there.
A while to reach that point, I think. Yeah, I mean, neither of us do anything. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, you used to do some crazy shit. And now,
yeah.
I mean, when they used to run out of heroin, they would shoot Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Directly.
Who the fuck does that? Oh, fuck, we're out of fucking heroin.
Into their veins.
Fill up take the top off the big bottle of Jack, fill it up, and then... fucking pull it through a syringe and fucking...
And what would that do?
Would that get you really drunk right away?
You could just drink it. Wow, you know what I mean? Why would you do that?
Because you're getting the alcohol in your system quicker? Yeah. That would have made sense to me as far as what you were trying to achieve.
Yeah, we're trying to get there.
You went
quicker.
MacGyver.
Yeah.
You guys were, you know.
Did it
you know
work?
What it is? It's like, what made you make it? In that instance, you applied it to the wrong thing.
Yeah. Because
you were just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to fucking put my flyers all over Hollywood. Da, 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 da. That was good.
Yeah.
And then we're out of heroin. And you're the flyer guy. Well, fuck it. We'll just fucking shoot this shit. No, that's the thing you got to watch out. Is the thing that makes you. Where you got can also fucking take you down if you don't like apply it. This is stuff that I'm learning.
He's like a cat who's had like 35 lives. Like you've been very lucky. Like
I have a
so many
stuck in my
times. I mean,
super lucky.
Have you ever had a time where you thought you were gonna die?
Oh yeah.
What?
Oh
yeah.
Let's hear it.
Well, I didn't think I was gonna die, but I should have died.
Oh no.
Same thing.
I was racing my brother home from a convenience store. And we used to always race home. We lived on a busy street. Uh-huh. And then our house was, you had to cross the busy street and go up this driveway. And my brother was just older and he was stronger. So I'd always do better than him getting to it. But then we had to wait for the traffic and then he would beat me up the hill. So we were racing home. I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to look over my shoulder, make sure nobody's coming, you know, and then I'll cross the street before him. Then I'll be fine. So that was my thing. And I was so focused on doing it. I looked over. I swear to God, I thought I looked.
Yeah.
There was nobody there. I went out, went right in front of this guy driving a Jeep. And all I heard was... And next thing I was like upside down.
Oh,
and I remember seeing the bumper. It's weird, the vivid snapshot.
Sure.
The tire, the bumper, and I felt the heat of the engine. And then it was just knocked out. And I woke up like, I don't know how much longer later, but I was laying across the double lines. And so I got up. My bike was all mad. I wish I had video of it. How the fuck I didn't go underneath it.
Well,
and I got up. And I ran to the sidewalk, and like the biggest guy you ever saw in your life got out of this Jeep, just crying like, "Oh my God,
I killed a kid!"
Oh. Yeah, and he came up to me, and he was like holding me up and shit. And I was going, I'm sorry," because I was just thinking my dad's gonna kill me because my bike was all fucked up. Guy's like, "I'll buy you a new bike. And I'm so sorry, you just came out." And I was just like, and all I remember was that happened on a Wednesday. Because the doctor said I didn't have to go to school for the next 2 days, so I didn't have to fake sleep. And all it was like, I got hit right in the temple. And if you bite down in your back teeth, that thing goes in and out.
Yeah.
So it hurt to chew. So I had to eat with a little spoon for like 2 days. But I didn't have to fake sick. So it was kind of cool.
How did you not,
and I got a four-day weekend out of it.
Nice.
Did you get broken bones or anything?
No, I got hit in the head. And then it was hilarious was the ambulance showed up. And there was a shit hospital near us. So my mother's like, yeah, he's not going to that hospital. And she sent him away. And then I took a cab in town to Children's Hospital, which is one of the best ones ever in Boston. So we went into there. And the whole time she wouldn't let me go to sleep because she knew I had like
concussion.
You know, well, she didn't know what was going on. So she was just like, stay awake, stay awake. And I'm like, I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah, I'm tired. I got hit by a bus. Yeah.
And then there was another time, the first time and only time I ever went skydiving.
Oh my God, you went skydiving? He likes skydiving.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do it.
It was a static line jump, so you're hooked up to the thing, so you don't have to pull the chute. And it was a one-day course, and the command was sit in the door, get out, go. So when you got out, I still remember how to do it, right? They had a little fucking square plate like for you to stand on over the wheel. It's like a little Cessna, you know, fucking...
Yeah.
Right?
Piece of shit.
So you fucking stood like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like this. It was like sit in the door... Get out like this, and then he hits you, go. And then you're supposed to go like...
Yeah,
it was arc 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000. Look, if nothing, look, reach, pull.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't look down, you'd be like flailing like that, right?
Mm.
So, one day training, he goes, go. First of all, when he said sit in the door, I thought he was saying close the door. So I was trying to close it. And he was just sort of smiling at me like, what the fuck are you doing? And then I finally got out there and he goes, go. And I let go. And I don't know, I tried to like grab for something and I started doing front flips as my chute was coming out.
Dude.
And I felt it go by my leg and it, I was like, oh my God, I'm dead. I'm gonna be like a fruit roll up in this thing. I'm not gonna be able to I'm not gonna be able to pull the thing. And somehow I was so lucky. It just
flipped around and you got...
I have no fucking
idea. Oh, my God.
I just had it. Pepperell, Massachusetts at that airport up there. So I was fucking...
I would shit my pants.
So the thing was, too, was hilarious was they
like
had
shit
like...
shit would be in my pants.
When you had to pull the toggles, they go, make sure you pull them all the way down to your knees, right? So there was this big girl in class and she couldn't fucking get them over. She landed across the street in a pile of loom, like dislocated her knee. I mean, it was like... he had us watch this whole video. And then in the end of this whole thing, you had to sign a thing that you wouldn't sue him if you died and shit.
What?
Yeah, it's a full-on release. They're not responsible for shit.
You sign a thing saying if you die, they're
But you can still sue them. It's bullshit. It's like a fucking prenup. They can still get your house. That's all bullshit.
Dude, dead. I had a similar experience. It was my second time. It was on my birthday. My buddy got me the thing. He's like, come on, man. Fucking go for your birthday. I'm like, all right, dope. So this is the second time, so I know what's going on. I know what to expect. And it's tandem. The instructor's on my back. We're out there. Okay, we're 10,000 feet.
Jesus, you know, Christ.
That's high as fuck. It is. I know, right?
Yeah, one, two, three. Okay. Like, and you, the best feeling in the world, right? When you just like, you feel like you're flying. Like,
no, it was not fun. Because I was doing front flips. And then the second it was over, when the chute was out, you just felt, you couldn't tell you were moving. When the chute's out, you feel like you just like, you're just sitting there in the air.
Ew.
And it's not until the tree line starts coming, like, oh, fuck, we're really moving. And
yeah.
So not worth it. Not worth it.
I think that what he did, and you go with somebody else, that's better. Yeah.
Yeah, free falling. I'm like, this is fucking insane. And all of a sudden, the one thing you never want to hear from your instructor who's fastened to you on your back is, fuck. I look like this, and the fucking chute's out, but the lines are all fucked up, and see him. He's got the lines, and he's fucking yanking on them like this, and I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna fuck. This is it.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was like,
is there anything I can do?
Can I help
can
you?
I shake my shoulders and make that shit happen? Yeah.
Dude. And at that moment, I like, you know, I was scared as fuck, and then a couple seconds later, I just went, you know what? This is it. I'm going to just fucking enjoy this all the way down until I get just whoosh, on the ground.
You have such a great mentality. I was
just like, I'm just going to like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the time. But I'll never forget that. You'd never want to hear your instructor.
That's pretty
say,
impressive
fuck.
That's where you went mentally. Because I had a buddy of mine.
I would not do that.
I had a buddy of mine that happened to another comedian. And he was on the ground crying in the fetal position afterwards for like, I don't know how many minutes. Because what happened with them, the same thing happened where the guy went, oh, fuck. And he looked back like that, too, as the guy looked back, which fucked up their balance. And then they started spinning. He the whole thing. And the guy finally was able to pull the reserve chute.
Oh, my God.
I have way too much
anxiety. I remember a buddy
of
mine who passed away, Patrice O'Neill, funniest dude ever. He teased him so fucking bad. Because he was telling the story, and we were all listening, and he was on the ground crying, and he's just like, you fucking bitch, and he just started trashing him and shit.
That's Tommy. He's like not afraid of dying. He's not afraid of death. He's like not. He's like so mellow. I'm like,
thrill
that's
seeker.
Probably why like I feel like drugs and everything have never killed you, because you weren't afraid of it.
Yeah.
Like you never did a drug and thought, oh, you know, like this could kill me, or like this, like, or I'm drinking
well,
so
heroin.
Much, like this could.
I was like, this is really, really good. I could definitely go down this path, and I was like, no. I'm not fucking with this anymore.
Yeah.
So you were able to kind of recreationally use that?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. Well, my thing is alcohol, man. Too much fucking alcohol. Yeah.
My thing was alcohol, and now it's cigars. Because I just replaced that, and then, like, my brain never shuts off, so cigars is good for that. But then you're fucking wired from the tobacco. So
yeah.
Now I got to lay off those things. But then I have all these cigar smoking friends now, and there's this whole fucking thing. You can't get rid of cigars because there's this big thing like, try this one. So it's like you give away three and you get five back.
Yeah.
And your humidors just keeps going
and
up.
Then and then everyone just buys you cigars because they hear you're kind of into them. So they're like, oh, Christmas is coming. Get them a cigar. Everybody gets you cigars.
Kind of into them is not the word. I fucking love them to an unhealthy point. So I'm trying to get that.
Do you
that.
Really have a humidor in your house? Like a whole?
I just have the little box. But guy, this is my third humidor because the other two times I gave away my cigars and I gave away the humidor. And I was just like, okay, if I don't have that, I won't fucking do it. But then somebody gives me such a nice box. It's like sacrilegious to let them go bad. I'm like, fuck, you know.
But you don't really inhale a cigar, right? You just puff on.
Yeah. You just get the mouth cancer.
Oh, my God. Do you smoke cigarettes, too, or no?
No, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life.
Wow, good for you. So how'd you get into cigars?
Oh, the Rose Bowl. I went to the...
Fuck you, Rose Bowl!
No, I went to the Rose Bowl. My buddy Joe Bartnick and we decided like New Year's Eve, it's this weird thing where it's the greatest night of the year as far as your money. You get make like double your money because the ticket prices are more.
Uh-huh.
But it's the most drunkest fucking horrible crowd and they can just have so many bad experiences. So I came up with this thing. I was just like, dude, why don't we just do some extra gigs in December? Make our New Year's money, not fucking work New Year's and go to the fucking Rose Bowl, get shit-faced and chill out. So he's like, all right. So we did that. Had beyond a great time. Almost got kicked out within the first fucking 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
Because we were so hammered. My buddy brought the cigar in, like, because they were just scanning the tickets, and he had it in his mouth like fucking Patton. And he just fucking walked in. They didn't see it. Yeah, so. So I started with those, like, and I would really enjoy, and I would just, it was weird. For like 3 years, I just had that one every year. And then I did a movie when I was in Boston, and we were going to go on this boat ride. And I was thinking, like, what can I, you know, you always try to get something for the cast. So I bought this box of cigars, and then the boat was so small, and there were so many people that didn't smoke. I was like, this is going to be obnoxious. I'm not going to do it.
And then
I had them, and I brought them back, and my mother always taught me don't waste things.
Yeah.
And then there was just one day, I was on the back porch of my house, the middle of the afternoon, and I lit up and I smoked a cigar. And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest fucking thing. I get why people do. Oh, you feel like you fucking won a war. Like you haven't even done anything with your day. Still in your pajamas. If you light up a cigar, you just have these delusions of grandeur. Just start floating out of your head like, I'm fucking amazing.
This has been a great life.
I'm smoking a cigar at 1:30 in the afternoon. What are you doing? So,
that's awesome.
Wow.
And I smoked it by myself. And was being a loner, I was totally fine. I'll tell you, it was fucking hilarious, though. One, I had to roast Big Poppy, the Red Sox, David Ortiz.
Oh, my God.
I came up with my whole roast thing smoking a cigar. I sat on the back porch by myself talking to myself, saying jokes and then laughing. And then I would just record them. And then I would just keep throwing out, just going on and on and on and on.
That's awesome.
And then I just had like this fucking set, and I came up with the whole thing. Like, I don't know. It's a weird, but I have to be careful with it.
Yeah.
Because, I was doing great. November was bad, though. November was bad. I just smoked a million of them.
God, that's cool. Well, at least you don't do anything else. Like if that's your one thing, you know. Have you ever smoked CBD? Do you know you can smoke CBD?
No, I don't.
You can?
I don't.
Yes. CBD is the most harmless because CBD has no THC in it, so you don't have to worry about getting high.
This is the greatest thing about weed now because it's legal. There's all these people who aren't doctors like giving you advice.
I know.
CBD is like not addictive. It's like totally healthy. Oh, okay there.
Okay.
I'm looking for the MD certificate on the wall. I don't see it. That's like everybody always like when they give you like an edible, because I know I've done shit like that.
I don't do weed or edibles.
People always, they don't even know what they have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, this is like maybe five.
And then you come back the next day, you're like, dude, what the fuck? Dude, I told you just to lick it. No, you didn't. You told me to eat a fucking square, and I did. I was fucking tripping watching Peter Gabriel. I started laughing. I couldn't stop fucking laughing. And then I was getting paranoid everyone's going to see me laughing, which made me laugh more. And my wife was just looking at me. She, you know when you're laughing so hard, people don't even know what you're laughing at. You're just laughing at how hard I was laughing that fucking hard.
Oh my
and I
God.
Love Peter Gabriel.
Did you like the edible?
I don't like
edibles.
No, it's just like, it gets like...
I don't like feeling fucked up.
I just don't like how, like I always felt with alcohol, you could tell.
Yeah, where you're going.
You could tell.
Level.
It's just like, okay, now we're take another step. And now we're going to do another step. That shit is just like, it comes on. It's like, hey, it's just like you're going up into the atmosphere. It's like, all right, is this thing going to stop? This has to be. And then you'll sit there for like a few seconds at this level and be like, all right, this has got to be the height.
Yeah.
And then, you're like, fuck.
Where are we going?
Yeah, trying to pull yourself back down.
That is the worst. It is the worst.
No, I don't like
I will say I hate them too. I do hate them. But I'm not a doctor, but I will say CBD has been really helpful because it doesn't make you feel fucked up and it doesn't have THC in it. It's just like the
but
healing.
We're also lab rats.
We are, in a way. Yeah, because it's not like a long time.
And people
time
always sit there going like, hey,
it.
Man, like weed's all natural. It's like that shit in the 70s. We had to smoke half a bag just to get that shit was natural. This shit now where it's just like, dude, you might want to just take half a hit of that.
It's
like
it's
the,
too
the
strong.
Amount of chemicals.
Yeah,
there's crystals all over it.
Yeah.
The old shit was like your backyard lawn clippings. Like,
yeah.
I know. Now weed is way too strong. I don't smoke
half
weed.
Of it
I can't.
Was dandelions.
Yeah, that actually, I liked like weak weed. Weak weed was awesome because you just knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
I got a couple of my friends. They're like old school pot guys. They're like, I don't even fuck with it anymore.
No, because
they're just
too
like,
intense.
Dude, weed is not weed anymore. Weed
it's,
is
no.
like.
It's crazy.
Fucking insane. Because
people's tolerances have gotten so insane that they need like crazy fucking weed. Otherwise, they don't feel it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I know a guy that he eats like 50s like they're golf balls.
Ugh. See, 50s. I just can't. He's just can't imagine.
Like, I mean, what happened to me? That Peter How Gabriel? That was 10.
Right. That was same. 10 milligrams. I've had 10
and I was just like.
Fucked up for. I felt fucked up the next day. I woke up and I was like, I'm still fucked up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm still fucking tripping. Like, it's kind of crazy. I won't fuck with edibles again. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, I mean, everything's fucking going to kill you at some point, I guess, you know? Like, it's kind of crazy.
God, she's doing it again.
I am. I'm saying it's true. It's true. I know, I'm so, I'm talk about a dark cloud.
We're going to die.
We're all going to die of something, guys. So might as well just do a little bit of every. My dad always used to tell me everything in moderation. He's like, you'll never go wrong.
Oh, if so you just heroin's bad? Cool.
Yeah, but it's like if you have that ability.
If you have that ability.
You have that ability. Like, yeah. I learned that I if I do something, I fucking do it. So I get all the way into it. So I have to be careful what it is. But I'm not like an addict.
You're
like
an all or nothing guy.
Yeah, I'm a binge drinker. Mm-hmm. I'm a binge drinker. That's how I always drank. Mm-hmm. You drank to get fucked up. You drank to try to drink more than your buddies. Mm-hmm. You had to shotgun a beer to get in the club and all. It was just always about abusing it. And I don't think I maybe like with wine. Occasionally there's been like a glass of wine.
You could have a glass of
that
wine.
That could complement what I was eating. But then I felt like I really need to drink a water next to just sort of make the little bit of a buzz go away. Because if I just, hey, I'll have another glass of wine. Yeah. And that thing's like, let's fucking do this.
Yeah. Why not have the whole bottle, Bill? There's another 5 bottles in the back. Yeah, no, I get it. Okay, well, that's our time. We did an hour. I'm so grateful to have you be here tell all your stories.
I
got to
show you those pictures.
I have to see them.
And is the goddamn Comedy Jam still happening?
I think
like,
I'm doing
happening?
One in maybe like a week or something.
Did you
like
know
that?
Josh is my ex-boyfriend from years ago when I was 22?
Oh,
we lived together for 2 years.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's so funny. So my ex does this show that he does. It's called the Goddamn Comedy Jam. It's actually amazing. Comedians sing they tell jokes and then they sing like their favorite song or play an instrument like their favorite like rock song. It was on Comedy Central, wasn't it, for a second? Or it was like on
I remember that.
Yeah,
hearing that title.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
Well, if we're not invited, I know where you live and I have your numbers.
Yeah, we're gonna come. We should come play on one. It'd be awesome. Josh actually asked me. He was like, "You should have Tommy."
Yeah, if
play.
You want to, that would be sick.
That'd be fun, right?
No, dude, that would be fucking sick.
You guys would have a lot of fun.
That would be fun. No, that would be fucking sick.
Yeah, we'll have to do it. And then are you're touring right now or are you what's
I
going on?
I start New Orleans, Memphis and New Orleans at the beginning of the year. I got a Vegas date this weekend and I'm in the 6th episode that aired Friday night of The Mandalorian. The thing on the Star Wars thing on
that. You're in that?
Disney Plus.
That's
yes.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. John Favreau's
awesome
doing it. It's like a spaghetti Western style.
Yeah.
It's sort of I don't know. I'm not like the biggest Star Wars guy, but I feel like this is the best thing from all of that, you know?
Right.
You know, so we'll see. I mean, I don't want to speak for the sci-fi nerds out there. I don't want to talk about
the sci-fi nerds.
I like it.
Yeah. That's so cool. Okay, so where can people get tickets for your upcoming tour? BillBurr.com?
Yes, BillBurr.com, and just click on tickets, and I got all the dates that are up there. I got some good ones. Vancouver. I got some really fun cities coming up.
Guys, make sure to go check out Bill. He's very funny. And make sure to watch. You have a couple specials on Netflix, right? Like, there's a couple specials on Netflix. Yeah, we've watched all of them.
They're fucking awesome.
They're hilarious. If you know, obviously, if you have a Netflix account or you just steal it from your grandma or your cousin or your friend's dog, and check out Bill's specials on there. And make sure to head over to BillBurr.com. And you have an Instagram. It's just at Bill Burr, right?
No, it's at Wilfred Burr.
Wilfred Burr. Is your real name
stupid.
Wilfred?
No. I don't know why I did that. I didn't think Instagram was going to be big. I was sick of coming up with names.
I don't know.
Now you're stuck with Wilfred Burr.
I fucking, I love what social media has done for my career, but I'm not like the biggest social media
guy. Okay, well, go to Wilfred
Burr. I go through
Burr,
phases.
Leave
go
a comment and let him know you heard this podcast. Thank you so much for being here, and
thank you so much, guys,
for listening.
Awesome.
And make sure to stay tuned next week for more Worst Stories on Worst Stories. We're out.